Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN. When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to Stalking Time for the Moon Boys. It's been a while.
It's been a while.
Did I say a kit?
Yeah, you did.
Did I say a kit? It's been a while.
It's been a while. Scottish, bit Scottish that.
No, I think it was just a strange brain. Oh, now another strange brain meltdown. If I said a kit's been a while.
It has been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while since we a-kitted, and indeed since we podcasted. Every so often, I mean, really, when I say every so often, I mean once every, say, month and a half.
Right.
Someone on Twitter says to me, when's the next episode of Stalking Time for the Moon Boys?
Is that me?
It might be usually. You. There's a guy in Cornwall. I think he's called Darren.
Right.
I think he might write for the local paper.
Okay.
We're very pleased that we've mentioned him, who says, never mind that, whatever I've tweeted. He says, never mind about that. When's the next episode of Stalking Time for the Moon Boys happening? I need my fix, he said once.
Is that a separate thing?
No, I don't think he was.
Does he mean,
he wasn't reaching out to me as an addict, except as an addict of this program.
Right.
No, he wasn't saying, please sort out some
he's a genuine
NA meetings for me.
Right.
He was saying, I really like the program. Why are you even thinking about other stuff?
Right.
So there are people out there who miss it. And every so often I think, well, maybe it's over. Because we haven't done it for ages. Well, I don't know. Maybe it's just come to an end because we don't seem to be doing it. Not because I've thought we shouldn't do it anymore.
Yeah.
I'm not breaking up with you.
No.
But just because it hasn't. I mean, when did we last do it?
So I think we did it. We've definitely done it in lockdown, haven't we? Because we did it at your house.
And we did it one other time on Zoom in lockdown.
Yeah, we did Zoom and then we did it, I think, I can't remember. But then we were together in your house, but we both had to be on separate computers, so we might as well not have been there.
Yeah.
So probably May or June, do you think?
Long time ago.
Yeah, but certainly a long time.
Yeah. So I apologise, listeners, but we are back.
The good news that we're recommissioned. We have a new series.
Is this another series?
I think this is series six.
Is it another series? Because I don't think we ever quite, because of lockdown, finish series five. whatever the previous series was.
I think we need to get into the podcast box set business. I think we should call this six, so people start saying,
okay,
oh God, how do I catch up on five?
But the amazing news is we're actually back in the shed, where we definitely haven't been
for a long time,
which is, of course, our spiritual and indeed physical home. It is our home. And it's very lovely to be here. We have a new producer.
Jack.
Bella, sadly, gone.
Yeah, Bella has moved on.
Bella has moved on. And we've got Jack, who, now, do you want to tell me the thing about Jack?
Jack works at Expectation, the company I run with the owner of this shed.
Yes.
And Jack's brilliant and has been a great help in the office. But the thing about Jack is, but I think you know the answer to this, is that what I want
to
do...
You have to pose it as a question.
Okay.
Is that what you're hoping to do?
Well, I'll just do it as the way, I mean...
the way you had it planned.
The question I was going to ask you...
Yeah.
Was where did Jack spend his 19th birthday? Yeah, Jack is 26.
Yeah.
But I think you know.
I know the answer.
The answer's that. But would you like to tell.
If the answer is not Paul what I think it is.
Tell it's Paul from Cornwall.
If the answer is not what I think it is, it's a very strange question.
Right.
Because I knew already, and you clearly forgot that you told me, that you told me, and this turns out not to be completely true, that Jack won an edition of Big Brother with his twin, I think is what you said. Now. That turns out to be wrong because Jack told us before we started that he didn't win. He came fourth.
Yeah.
But what would have been an amazing and random question is if he has now not spent his 90th birthday in the Big Brother house.
That so
would
what's be your really answer?
I'm going to assume it's the Big Brother house.
It's Norwich. It is the Big Brother house.
Yeah.
And Jack, that's true. You came fourth.
Yeah, I came fourth, yeah.
Yeah.
With your twin.
Yeah, with my twin. Yeah, it was one housemate and then we came fourth together.
Yeah.
So, hang on, you and your twin were one housemate?
Yeah, we wasn't allowed to be individual housemates. I don't think
really.
That's for Big Brother watchers. That is a trick that Big Brother had done before, which with Samantha and.
Yes, Samantha.
Do you remember Samantha in the series? I don't know what.
It was 2007.
Okay, six or seven.
I don't really. I mean, the
two
name
twins
Samantha is ringing like the faintest bell.
Okay, they were twins, and but they had to be one person, so they became Samantha because it was Samantha and.
Amanda, Samantha and Amanda.
Yeah.
Right. What's your brother called?
Joe.
Jack and Joe.
So they became Joe.
Jack, Joe, Joe, Jack.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Is he an identical twin?
He is, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. You know what? I mean, you know, you don't run Big Brother anymore.
No.
So you weren't responsible.
Well, it's not even on, but
no, but you did used to be the overall.
In fact, when Jack was there,
Exec producer on Big Brother, that's correct.
Well, no, I wasn't even exec producer. I was running the company.
You're running the company that made Big Brother. Look, for the purposes of people who don't work in television,
if you want to say.
I'm making you the Wizard of Oz behind Big Brother.
I'm the man, if you want to say the man behind Big Brother.
The man behind Big Brother. Were you responsible at the time that. What was her name again? Annapurna. What was it again? I've already forgotten.
Samantha.
Samantha, yeah.
That's Annapurna.
Annapurna, yeah. No, Samantha. You weren't responsible for Samantha.
Yeah.
You were.
I mean, in the way you're defining responsible, yes.
Yeah, okay, so you were working... So you ran Endemol when Samantha happened.
Yeah.
Okay, so can I ask you a question? Yeah. I presume Samantha
Is it
also...
Where did Jack spend his 19th birthday? Because we know that.
No, I presume Samantha were identical twins.
Correct.
Okay, like... No one would have thought, would they, of getting on non-identical twins to Big Brother? It's always got to be a thing, an identical thing. Otherwise, it's not really a thing.
Oh, I see what you mean. But also, I think Big Brother, like a lot of these, are very reductive, right? In characterising people, what they are, what they represent. And we were definitely guilty of that.
I'm going to do the most brilliant segue now.
Oh, I can't wait.
So, of course, one person who was a twin was David Bowie.
Wow.
David Bowie, who his mysterious twin... He wasn't identical.
No.
He would have been a non-identical twin.
I think that's right.
I've forgotten his name.
Terry.
Terry, thank you. With Terry. Actually, you know what? I've never seen any pictures of Terry that would make it clear to me whether he was identical or not. I've always assumed he wasn't.
Well, yeah, I'm assuming he wasn't. I'm just reeling for the fact you've mentioned David Bowie. When was the last time we mentioned David Bowie in this podcast?
Maybe 4 years ago. But who knows?
I've forgotten all about him. Yeah, he's good, isn't he?
Oh, he's great.
Oh, he's really good. Fabulous. Terrific songs. Particularly in the 80s.
But, I mean, it's an interesting thing because when I was younger, and sometimes now as well, Terry was thought of as like quite a big thing in David Bowie's life. That he wrote the Budo Brothers about Terry. But just generally, like, David Bowie's wound, his artistic wound to some extent, was the... was Terry and Terry's suicide. Was it a suicide?
Yeah, I think it was.
Schizophrenia, Terry's schizophrenia. If he had schizophrenia, I've heard that called into question.
Okay.
Yeah, I've and heard Terry's schizophrenia called into question. But like, that he had this kind of other, this connection with this other person whose life went wrong.
All the mad men. So all the mad men, yeah. The original man
he was frightened of being mad, frightened of going mad because Terry had gone mad.
And the original Man Who Sold the World cover had a picture of the institution that Terry was held
in.
Yeah, I think that album particularly. Yeah,
well, it didn't have him in a dress.
No, the cartoon. There's a cartoon. It's an American cartoon of a sort of cowboy with a gun. Do you know? It's like almost like pop art.
Yeah,
which was I think the American edition of Venetia, and that had the you know. And so I think that album he was very much about the madness of it all. And then
it happens. I mean, this is now. See, we have
Terry here.
No. Now digging. We are properly digging down into minutiae. But I can't remember who this was. On 5 years or one of those big Bad Bowie documentaries, one of the women, I can't remember which one, thingy Farthingale.
Hermione.
Hermione Farthingale. It might have been Hermione Farthingale. Yeah. I don't know. Anyway, one of them.
This is good deep diving.
Yeah, deep diving. One of them says on one of those documentaries, David talked up Terry's madness, that he used to talk a lot about it because it was a typical early Bowie thing to want to suggest that he had this brother who was schizophrenic.
He was actually a very successful accountant who lived well into his 80s.
Yeah, but it's interesting, isn't it? Sort of, I can imagine in the late 60s, early 70s, that would seem for an artist like Bowie quite cool.
Okay, so
to say I'm on the edge of madness. In fact, it's in my family. My twin, you know, is like disturbed and blah, blah, blah. That would actually be like a positive thing. Not a positive thing, but something that he would consider to be of a piece with who he was.
So you know when you go to university, for example, for the first time, you're aware of that.
I'm aware of that. I mean, it's been a while, but I can think back to it.
I don't know whether you do the same, but I think I was probably guilty. It's an opportunity to slightly write your backstory, isn't it? But, right, you're with people you've never met before, and I went in the 80s, as I think you probably did. I'm a bit younger than you.
I went 83. That was early 80s. I mean, quite close to the mid-80s, though. That's when I was at university.
I went 85. You're not... Okay, you're 2 years.
I think we're clear. I'm 56.
Right. I'm 53. Nice to meet you.
Okay, but I took a year off.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
So... guilty in the 80s, it was quite important to basically get as close as you could be to sort of being related to a minor, or you know, like
not a young person.
No,
because I was related to a minor, my younger brother.
Right, was I.
Yeah,
but no, I mean, I'm a coal miner, or something, you know, so that you're credible.
Yeah, I didn't try and claim that,
and I definitely didn't claim that, but I probably said all sorts of things about my background. A lot of it's true, but
your background, because what was that little village you're from?
Whisper Green in Whisper Green.
So you're from Whisper Green,
right?
But you pretended to be County Durham.
No, what I mean is, forget the minor thing. It wasn't exactly specifically that. But my mum's was brought up by people who were servants in a hall, right? Quite feudal. My grandmother was.
Your mum was brought up by servants.
I mean, what I mean is, her mother, my grandmother was a servant in like a downtown.
All right, so she was a servant.
Yeah, she was a proper skivvy.
I thought you meant that she was posh. No,
she was brought up in a... her mother was a servant.
Her mother was a servant, right. It's a strange way of putting it, isn't it? My mum was brought up by servants. I think that implies that she was really posh, not what you should have said, which is my grandmother was a servant.
Yes, I suppose. I don't know why. Equally, if your grandmother was a nanny, that would be, wouldn't it? I was brought up by a nanny. Oh, you're very posh. No, what I mean is she was a nanny. Yeah. I see what you mean.
Yeah.
But anyway, the point is, and I probably made that sort of, probably didn't talk about the fact that my dad's father was a deputy bank manager. So anyway, the point I'm lumbering towards is David Bowie.
Oh, right.
probably was slightly doing that, right? Here I am. My brother.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he was rewriting.
And he's inventing, like we all do.
No, that was Hermione Farthingale or whoever it was.
Fart pants.
Well, actually. please don't say fart pants about letter to Hermione. Letter to fart pants. In those documentaries, which obviously I've watched all of them, there's quite a lot of women who I'm not sure who they are, who just appear to be like hang out at the Beckenham Arts Lab and have sex mainly with David,
but could you,
occasionally Tony Visconti, and if they really were forced to, Woody Woodmansey.
But I'm just thinking, I know this sounds facile, but just take this as a serious question. If she was called Hermione Fartpants, would it be possible? Because she's a very important figure in David's life.
Yeah.
He was obsessed with her and in love with her, wrote this beautiful song.
Yeah.
Could you be obsessed with someone...
called Fartpants.
...who was called Fartpants? Mm. Would that come into play? Would people constantly say, Would a name matter?
I mean, Johnny Fartpants was a character in Viz. Right. I mean, I have to say there wasn't much sort of in-depth romance. You know,
that's true.
In any of the stories about Johnny Fartpants.
So, but it does make it
I mean, if there had been, I think there is a story in which he's about to kiss a girl, but then he farts really badly. actually, there is also, this is not that relevant, but I think the funniest single image, possibly in the history of comedy, is in Viz, Buster Gonad, in one episode. Buster Gonad, for anyone who doesn't know, he has unfeasibly large testicles.
Yeah.
Gets a job as Santa Claus one Christmas because he can bundle his testicles up into his stomach provide himself with an enormous Santa-like stomach. But then he's in the grotto and a kid is on his lap.
Yes.
And they fall out and crush the kid. Right. And he says, "Oh, Lordy." And that in itself, I think, that one frame is the funniest frame in the history of comics.
Got it.
But I don't know. I mean, I think it would be quite hard for David to write a romantic song like Letter to Hermione while thinking to himself, laying down that track, Fart Pants. I think that would have been quite hard for him. Can I just... I've actually got something that I've been thinking about.
Oh, sure.
Which is, at the time of recording, it's Tim's birthday, Tim's 54th birthday, tomorrow.
Right.
Is it tomorrow?
Okay, a few things about that.
Okay.
It's not my birthday tomorrow.
Okay.
It was my 53rd birthday in August.
Oh, wow. I've been told that there is a socially distanced, perfectly acceptable, and utterly legal party happening for your birthday tomorrow.
Yeah. And the thing is, on the day of my birthday, it didn't go particularly well in August.
I think you told me that,
I was going to go out for dinner.
Yeah, there was all sorts of problems with your family.
Well,
one of
your kids
went mad. Kids
mucking about and... Yeah. A door fell off. I mean, it wasn't, I'll make it sound bad, but basically it meant, oh God, we can't go to the restaurant because we need to get the window of this door fits because the kids were mucking around and broke it accidentally.
Yeah.
And then also we went on a mountain biking day and basically in that way of families had, you know, we couldn't agree on where we should go. So it was all a bit sort of fraught and frenetic and lockdown makes things all a bit trickier, doesn't it? So and it was a bit of a write-off. And I mentioned to a mutual friend of ours, oh God, it was, you know, a bit of a write-off, and she said, well, let's have a dinner.
Right.
And that's what we're doing tomorrow.
Okay, well, either way, I have bought a present to bring to this dinner tomorrow.
Yeah. I mean, you don't even need to come if you just send it along. But
no, I'm very keen. Actually, I'm not sure it's arrived yet, but anyway, should have arrived because I bought it on Prime on Amazon.
Spoiling
now, me. I'm going to blow an element of surprise. I'm not going to tell you what the present is.
Yeah.
Can I blow an element of surprise? What do you think is the theme of your present?
Well...
Just off the top of your head. And bearing in mind that I'm mentioning it on this podcast.
Mick Ronson?
there isn't as much Mick Ronson memorabilia as perhaps there should
be. I'm thinking it's David Bowie.
It is David Bowie.
Great.
It's a David Bowie-based present.
Okay.
Now, when I was looking for David Bowie-based presents, and this is really the theme that I wanted to get to, obviously it's taken us a while like it always does.
Yeah.
I looked on Amazon and I discovered there are some extraordinary David Bowie novelty items.
Wow.
Like, look at this. This is a David Bowie... chopping board.
Hang on, no. And what it actually says is David Bowie chopping, cutting cheese board.
Placemat, wooden, cooking, baking, birthday. It says, yes, it's written by someone who can't speak English. But it's a wooden chopping board, 1995.
Yeah.
And it says, let's cook, which is not a very good pun, I assume, on Let's Dance.
Yeah, it was not a pun, is it?
It was not a pun, no. But it carries on, put on your apron and dice the stews.
That's so bad.
That's so bad. Isn't
so
it?
Let's just examine
that. Can we just examine that?
Yeah.
Okay.
So
put on your red shoes.
Well, sorry, I was going to say the thing as you say about let's cook is it's so clunking because it doesn't rhyme.
Yeah.
And so it's not. I can understand there doesn't seem to be a rhyme for dance.
Yeah. I mean, it's got 64 mainly 5-star ratings. Excellent.
It's probably
good pun.
Wow.
Good
really?
Board. Yeah. Great. Good fun present says. Don't know who this is, someone, but my partner hates the fact that the lyric pun is from a different era than that of the picture.
That's what I was going to
bring a really good point.
No, that's literally what I was
we haven't said this. The picture is Ziggy Stardust, Aladdin Sane cover. It's the lightning,
I love
it's the lightning
that.
Stripe.
I love that they said that because that my first thing looking at it was that's come from someone who doesn't know him very well. They've got a picture of him as Aladdin Sane with Let's Dance next to it. I couldn't agree more.
Yeah. Robert Evans. Has put chopping.
Yeah, that's
the title
better.
Of his comment. Yeah, that is better. That would be a better
definitely.
Thing for the whole thing.
Yeah.
Bought to mark wood anniversary. What is wood anniversary? What, getting hard on?
I think wood is like, you know, one of those early years.
I don't know, is it first or second, like paper or wood?
Yeah.
Who's a big Bowie fan. She liked it reasonable enough quality.
Do you know what I would call it?
What?
Chop on wood.
Chop on Wood.
And that should be
the only problem with that is, while that's very good, it is a cover. Yeah, not a very good cover. No, only on David.
It's
Live.
Better than Let's Chop or whatever. What's it called?
It's Let's Cook.
Let's Cook. It's not even.
I just want to read this 2-star review. See if there's anything in it. Disappointed. Returned it. As you can see from my photos, there was a line right across the board that went through his face. What you mean? The lightning stripe. Is that what you mean? 2 different colours pieces of wood, which was pretty much split almost immediately. So this bloke is very upset. It's quite small, probably only good for cheese.
If you that's what it says, though, to be fair. It says cheese
board. But also, if you just want a very good chopping board, don't buy the one with Barry's face on it, because that's not really the point of it, is
go
it?
Go to John Lewis.
Just go to John Lewis and buy one. Or maybe Jamie Oliver does one with a picture of his face on it. Let's cook. Can we just, before we move off the chopping board, because there are other novelty items.
But you didn't get me that, is what you're saying.
Didn't get you that.
No.
Put on your apron and dice the stews. So what is it? Put on your red shoes and dance
the blues.
So... again, no effort at all has been made to match red shoes with any kind of thing that might involve cooking or chopping.
You do dice things to put in a stew, but you don't dice the stew. There's no such thing as dicing a stew.
You don't dice a stew.
No, of course you don't.
You slow cook a stew.
So you could say, put on your apron and prepare the stew. It's not brilliant, but that's at least makes more sense.
I mean, to the people who came up with this, and by the way, it's 64 people have bought it at least because they rated it. Did they think, well, I've come up with the line dice the stews. That's enough for me. I'm going to build the whole chopping board around that.
Oh, what made the... Yes, I see what you
made
mean.
Someone think this was a good idea?
Yeah.
And also, by the way, does, you know, the David Bowie estate get any share in this?
I'm thinking
not.
I suspect not.
Yeah, but I mean, I might speak to Duncan about it.
Good you.
Yeah, I might just talk with you about it. Okay.
So you didn't get me that.
I didn't get you that. So now I'm just looking myself.
You're scrolling.
Oh, yes. So you can get Father's Day cards. Have you seen this? You can get Father's Day and Christmas cards. One of them is a Christmas card called Bring Us Some Ziggy Pudding, which is Ziggy Stardust as an elf.
I mean, that's not terrible. It's not brilliant, but...
It's quite bad.
Of course it's... I mean, any pun's going to be bad. There's going to be no pun where you go, wow, they've really cracked it, right? And it's worth having.
Yeah.
Some mugs.
It's a lot of mugs. Mugs is okay.
Yeah.
I did see on this, actually, because it becomes not him after a while. It becomes, there are other people involved, like Freddie Mercury and whatnot.
Suddenly a Billy Connolly book in the midst of
that's a bit weird. Yeah. David Bowie Rocket Lolly art poster. So what sense is that a David Bowie branded thing? I created this digital illustration, says Steve Ash, illustrator, as a tribute to David Bowie.
It's a lolly stick.
Oh, I see. Right, so he's got this wrong, hasn't he? He's put man on it, David Bowie.
Oh, he thinks it's Rocket Man.
He thinks David Bowie, he's got as far as creating this whole thing without realising that Elton John wrote Rocket Man.
That is amazing that he's
really
done that.
It's really worth going to have a look at this. David Bowie Rocket Lolly art poster. I wonder if he realised it after he'd made it, because he doesn't say David Bowie Rocket Man Lolly art poster.
But there's something about the sort of casual way.
By the way, if anyone's wondering what it is, it's a rocket-shaped lolly. With different logs or colours on it, and then on the stick, Steve has embossed man. Oh, it's gone, but that's it. Yeah,
that's amazing. I mean, unless he thinks that's something to do with space, or I think he's
made a mistake.
You didn't get me that.
I didn't get you that. I sort of wish I had, at some level.
The most disappointing present
you've ever got,
I've ever got, which I might have mentioned before, and this was actually for Christmas, was I was pretty sure I was going to get Skeletrix. I was pretty sure my parents were dropping hints that I was getting Skeletrix.
Right. Yeah.
And in my 7 or 8 year old world, that was what was happening.
Yeah.
And I opened up a present, which I assume was the Skeletrix, a sort of big sort of box, and it was a jigsaw puzzle of a racing car.
Yes, I think you maybe have told me that.
And that was absolutely...
That is incredibly disappointing.
Awful. And I really felt I was being...
So in what way had they dropped the hints?
Well,
because they could have been dropping hints of like, oh, Tim, we know you love racing. We know you love racing
which
cars.
Which I didn't. But,
but we know you really like,
zzz,
boom, boom, that's me doing a racing car.
Right.
Brum, 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 right. And all that stuff.
Yeah.
But basically, they could have been dropping some racing car, motor racing hints. You took that to mean Skeletrix. Fair enough.
Yeah.
And they meant shit puzzle.
Yeah, I didn't like racing cars at all. I think my friend Ricky Palmer had... Ricky Palmer had Skeletrix, he had Buckaroo, he had the whole 80s TV, right. You know, yeah. And he always got everything. And I was acutely aware that we didn't, because as you know, I was brought up by miners in County Durham.
No, I'm during the strike.
And during that was really hard. Skeletrix. That was the worst bit, actually. That was
a scene from Billy Elliot where they go, the very hard, oppressed northern parents of you to the shop to get Scalextrix, the one nice toy shop that's left in County Durham.
I thought they were doing the best for me.
And they said, oh, it costs £7.04.
£7.04?
Yeah, that's the sort of money that they have in those films. We can't get that. We'll have to get Tim this puzzle. That's
You're gradually leaning into an accent. I knew that was coming. I knew at the end you might go a bit northern because you didn't want to have the whole thing.
I've gone for it. Yeah, what do you think?
Puzzle. Well, you say, to be fair, you say puzzle quite convincingly as a northern. Yeah. I'm not sure it's the most challenging word.
I used to be like one of the very few things, so I don't really get embarrassed in my life. I sort of have no vanity as a performer or anything. But the only thing that I am embarrassed about is my inability to do accents. I'm not embarrassed about it anymore because when I sometimes mention it as a thing, that like, because one of the things about my whole career really is that I've monetized just me. Being me, right? Yes. I don't really do anyone else.
For the fact you'd been very successful and famous, that would have been really David Brent.
A terrible David
Brent. The thing I do is I monetize me.
Yeah, the thing I do is me. I know, it's incredibly luckily, David Brent.
But that is actually true.
Yeah,
so
David Brent plays Ricky obviously is very successful, but a non-successful character. Yeah. But in a way, what I'm trying to express is my limitations, which are quite vast. In that I have no ability even to do anyone else's voice, anyone else's accent, whatever. I'm very shit at that. And I think of it in a positive way. I think, well, that's because I'm very comfortable in myself.
Yes.
Very uncomfortable trying to be someone else. Yeah. So I would avoid doing accents generally. I remember once trying to do on Fantasy Football, I was playing Frank in a sketch and I tried to do a black country accent and it literally sounded like someone doing a very shit scullery maid from the 14th century.
Right.
But I now sometimes just do them because I feel I've even lost that embarrassment.
You know, I teach accent training to actors and so on.
No.
Well, I don't. I just think I know probably what you have to do. And I think what we should just do...
You did, of course, teach me how to say Spice Girls in a Glasgow way.
That's so good.
When I'm actually saying... What am I actually saying?
You're actually saying Space Ghetto in an American accent.
Spice Girls.
No, what are you doing?
I forgot how to do it.
No, you just do what we've just agreed, which is say Space Ghetto in an American accent.
Space Ghetto. And now what does it sound like?
It sounds like a Glaswegian saying Spice Girls. Space Ghetto.
Space Ghetto.
Space Ghetto.
It doesn't. When I do it, it doesn't.
Do it again?
Space Ghetto.
Yeah, it's like Space Girl. Space Ghetto.
We actually have definitely done this before in series one.
I think that... box edit, if you want.
Okay.
I think that you said puzzle.
Puzzle,
I would just work backwards, get your confidence. I don't want to expose you. So my technique is a rare one. It's like... I will take you to the full sentence. You know, most speech therapists, you've probably been to a few, teach you accents.
Oh,
we'll start you at the beginning of a sentence.
Yeah.
I go, look it up. I go backwards to the beginning, and it's more makes people feel more confident.
Right.
I've worked with, never mind who I've worked with.
Why are you making up this whole persona? Accent therapist.
I'm doing it. This is my Bowie.
As it happens, my wife, Morwenna Banks, is, I would say, the best person doing accents I've ever met.
Mm.
Like, any accent she can do.
Mm.
She can do, like, five different types of Scottish accent.
No, that's extraordinary.
Yeah, it's really amazing.
Space Ghetto? Can she do that?
I'll have her a go at seeing if she can do Space Ghetto.
But I just think you were able to say puzzle, and all I would say is now you could say champion puzzle.
In the scene.
Yeah, just...
But it wasn't a champion puzzle. It was a shit puzzle.
Okay.
It was well. I now imagine because in the scene as it carries on in the
disappointing puzzle
in your version,
yeah.
right? In the Hinks family version of Billy Elliot,
yeah,
Tim Elliot, Tim Hinks. It's just called Tim Hinks, right? In their version of that, they say, "I'm so sorry, son, but we've got you. We were going to get you a Skeletrix, but we've got you a shit puzzle.
That's really
we've got you." Really a shit puzzle. But what I want to know, forgetting the accent thing for a second, is is that what happened, or were they never going to get you a Skeletrix?
Oh, I see.
Did they scale down?
Once you've stopped
Because things were hard for the Hinks.
No, I think once you've stopped being a kid and you're a parent, you look back, you realise all the things that you've met. Of course they never dropped. There's no way they thought, let's get Tim to think he's got a Skeletrix set.
No, I'm not saying that they were trying to make you disappointed, but that would be a weird thing to do. What I mean is... Maybe they thought they were going to get your Skeletrix. it was tough back then.
Oh, I see.
Even for deputy bank managers, but your mum was brought up by servants. Yeah. so it was tough. And they had to scale down. They had to scale electrics down at the last minute.
They had to put the scale electrics down in Woolworths and get me a puzzle.
They had to go to Toys.
That's an interesting question. I don't know if that... Well, I suspect they never even thought about it or mentioned it, and I just imagined.
Right. Did you say when you opened it?
No, of course not. No,
I thought I was getting a scale electrics.
No, well, I hope I didn't. I don't think I would have done that. And I also think it may not have been my, what's called a main present.
Oh, okay.
You know, I think they may never have thought about it. I think
when you say what's called a...
Well, what I mean
I completely understand, I think anyone would, the concept of a main present. That was something that my mum did. I talk about it in my novel, Time for Bed, that my mum was someone. I remember the first time she did it, she was carrying something on her chest. She'd bought this ridiculous thing, which was a thing for carrying things on her chest. And she said, it's what I call a papoose.
And I remember
saying to her, no, that's what it's called.
But that's interesting.
And she would do that a lot. She would say things like, it's what I call a word processor, basically. And I put that into my first novel.
That's really interesting. I didn't know that. Yeah. Okay. Well,
and when I call a main present.
No, I didn't. I said I tell you what I felt.
Yeah.
Is I felt that main present felt a little bit suburban. I felt a bit self-conscious. Is that a main present? Is that like a lower middle class thing people say?
Well, it's self-conscious because you think like you've built up this idea of you as from miners.
A miner.
You know, mum brought up by servants.
Yeah.
And now you've got more than one present.
Well, in my household, certainly in the early days, the main present was a punch in the face. Because that was very much how
Can we move off this subject? Yeah. And move back onto the subject of David Bowie.
You've got me for my birthday.
No, I want to talk about something else I found out about David Bowie. So, as I always do before doing this programme, I look for David Bowie news.
Yep.
And David Bowie seduced Tina Turner. Apparently.
Yes.
Did you read the story?
I did read the book. You have to remind
me. I think we're all right to talk about it, even though we did once talk about David seducing people and it went very wrong. But this is okay because Tina was definitely, you know, old enough.
Not a minor.
Not a minor at the time. Have you read the story?
No. Well, I may have skipped it. I think it'd be good to be reminded.
The main story...
What period are we in? Are we in 1984? Are we in Live Aid and all that?
35 years ago. It says, simply the best hit maker, that'll be Tina, was won over in Birmingham.
What is that thing, by the way?
The main thing they've gone with, but there are other issues that I want to, is that David won her over by... He went to have a shower in her hotel room, I think.
Right.
Then he walks out stark naked wearing one of my spare wigs. He started singing Rolling on the River and was dancing just like me. I mean, I know David clearly liked dancing naked. We have talked about that before.
No, this is a theme,
but
isn't it?
I really think that's an odd way to win anyone over.
I suppose.
I mean, if you're David Bowie, where you probably you know, you got a head start with winning people over.
Well,
sexually.
I want to come back to that because I think that.
But I mean, is it sexy to put on one of Tina Turner's own wigs and dance around naked, singing "Rolling on the River"?
Do you think?
I suppose it'd be funny.
Well, if you were Paul McCartney or David Bowie,
well, imagine it.
Right, you know that...
I can't imagine Paul McCartney doing that.
Well, I was going to say something different, which is you know that if what you want to do is have relations with this woman in front of you, it will almost certainly happen. There's sort of no question it's going to happen because of who you are, right? And they were used to sort of... Go on.
Well, I'm stopping you there because certainly it's definitely the case that if you're David Bowie or Paul McCartney or whoever, in your prime, you can have sex with almost any... ordinary woman.
Okay.
Whether you can have sex with another rock star.
Okay, that's a fair point.
I'm not absolutely sure.
But let's just.
Because they're on a level in a way, not necessarily absolutely on a level.
I do.
But in the sense, that's an interesting point though, isn't it? Because when you're famous as a male, it's no question it does improve your ability to have sex with women because your status goes up in society and that somehow makes you more of a catch or whatever for you know, the rest of us.
But does it
but
cancel
what
out?
If, what if. Your status is already up there. You're one of those peers. Then are you now back in, like, basically I'm just an ordinary Joe
with
Tina Turner?
It's like going to a non-celebrity version of a show.
Yeah.
Is that you? That's really interesting. Well, because I was looking at it the other way, which is if you know, if you've been so successful, if that's with the opposite sex, you might say to yourself, but this is where it... But okay, Tina Turner, there seems to be a bit of a thing. I bet I can even have sex if I go into the shower, put a wig on and come out dancing. I bet I'll still be able to have sex.
She'll still think I'm sexy. I know. Isn't that incredible?
Because you would... If
Rolling on the River as well. I mean, let's be honest. If anything, it's quite a big piss take of Tina.
Yeah, there's.
I mean, it's basically saying, well, look at this stupid version of you I'm but doing, which a lot of women wouldn't have gone for. I mean, to be fair to Tina, she's clearly got a sense of humour.
I know you believe in and practice monogamy, but if you. I know that.
Oh, God, yeah. To be honest, I don't believe in it, but I do practice it. That's the case for most people, isn't it?
Indeed. But if you thought, imagine you weren't, or whatever, and you thought Tina Turner in 1984, whenever it is, was
very sexy,
interested in you.
Yeah.
If you just got the nearest spark, she was on. Spark.
A spark, right. You know, I thought you imagined she was on Spar.
She was on Unplanned or whatever you're doing at that. I don't know, whatever. At that
1980.
Point. Okay, hang on. 19.
It was 35 years ago.
Okay, I'm really.
It's got
really...
1985. So, to be honest, I've been at university.
Don't you find.
But let's imagine it was the early 90s. But I'm
by the
on
way,
telly.
Yeah, and do you, in parenthesis, do you find. I definitely do. That if you're told it's X many years ago, but the number of years is higher than the year of the century you're in, it's absolutely almost impossible.
Oh, the arithmetic's impossible.
So we're 2019. Yeah. And
if you said to me it's 15 years ago, that's quite easy.
That's just 20 take away 15.
Yeah, that's quite easy. But 35 years ago, once it goes past the corner of 2000,
and that is indeed 15 years before 2000. So it's not. Yeah. No, it is 1985.
It is 1985.
Right. So,
but let's imagine it's early 90s. Tina's still very sexy.
Right. You're on a show.
I'm on Mary White's Experience. Right. Early, let's say.
She's a guest. And everyone's chatting and she sort of winks at you. I don't know what she would do. And everyone's saying, oh, it was nice having Tina on. And you're thinking, yeah but I think
I'm in with Tina.
I think there's something special.
Yeah.
David, will you come for a drink with us? I'm just going to go and check Tina's all right.
That's very smooth. I don't know if I've ever done that, but yes, all right.
So off go Tracy McLeod and Michael Newman. Gove and Rob Newman.
Yeah, so you're thinking Stab in the Dark. Now, that's the other show.
But Michael's come in because he's a friend.
Okay, right.
And they're off to the Earl of Lonsdale pub.
Yeah.
Oh, no, the Yorkshire Grey.
Yeah. I'm off to meet, you know, James Brown of Loaded.
Right. But before all that,
yeah.
You say, I'm just going to check on Tina.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go into.
She's in a hotel room.
She's in a hotel. Okay, I thought she was in the dressing room. Okay, but she's in a.
Well, all dressing room.
Well,
if she's in the dressing room, that means she's on the show, I mean, which seems quite unlikely.
That's what I thought we were going to do.
Oh, she's on the show.
She's on the show.
Okay, look, I tell you, it's not impossible because Robert Smith of The Cure, who, much as I love him, I've never had any sexual interest in, was on the Mary White's Experience.
Okay.
Right, so pop stars were on it.
So Tina Turner's come on it.
Yeah.
And she's done a whatever
she's come on
guessed.
She's come on to me on it.
She's come on to you, and you know there's a bit of a spark.
Yeah.
And she said, nice to be is she American? Nice to see you, David.
Yes, she is.
And you're sort of thinking.
Yeah, she's singing Nutbush City Lyrics.
Yeah, and you're saying, didn't Mark Bolan play guitar on that? Was that an urban myth?
Yeah.
And she says, definitely an urban myth, David.
Definitely an urban myth. But, and later in life, you're going to get humiliated by Danny Baker on Comic Relief University Challenge, where you answer, it was Mark Bolan when Angus Deaton. I'm going with the answer.
Yeah, it's good.
And when Angus Deaton says, yeah, and then Danny Baker says, that's an urban myth. And then Angus Deaton turns to the audience and says, who do we want to vote for? And they vote for Danny Baker. And you are definitely humiliated by
that. But that aside...
So take my advice now, don't say it.
Enough of my yakking, as they say.
Thank it's you for goodbye.
It's been great to see you, if you know what I mean.
Right.
And she's from New York, right?
I don't know.
And she goes to address
no,
room
she's
and says,
from Detroit or something.
Yeah, see you. See
she's
you.
From Nutbush. Almost definitely.
See you later, hopefully not before too long or something. And off she goes.
Yeah.
And you go, not if I see you first. Oh, damn, why did I say that? Yeah, but she still seems all right.
Yeah.
And you're saying goodbye to Michael Gove.
God, it's taking
McLeod,
a long time.
And you go to her dressing
scenario.
Room. As you're going to her dressing room, you're famous.
Yeah.
She's
more famous.
Arguably more famous, but famous. So you're thinking, you know, maybe, you know, I need to put a bit of work in here, right?
Yes.
And I go in. You're not thinking... I'm
I know
put a
how
wig
I,
on
yes,
and
no,
go
the status
rolling down the whip. You're not doing that.
No, that's exactly the point. But that is partly to do with the fact that I definitely would still think, well, I'm lower on the rung than Tina, and I'd be very, you know, unlikely really to be in with Tina Turner. So what I probably will have to do is really up my game.
Can we just
not take all my clothes off and sing Rolling on the River in one of her wigs?
If she opened the door, I mean, just if you can just put yourself.
If she
in that
opened
position,
the door naked.
Well, no, I was going to say that, to be honest.
Oh.
If she just opened the door
right.
And said, if you could just put yourself in that young David Baddiel, and she says, hi, David, what is literally your first love? What will you say?
Hello, Tina Turner.
That's
definitely what I'd say if she said, hello, David Baddiel.
In that slightly sinister way. Hello,
Tina. I would just reflect back to what she said. I would like to point out that if I was David. And I put a wig on and I was naked and I was singing a Tina Turner song, it would be Nut Bush City Limits.
Right, right.
Because that's funnier.
Yeah.
Because it's got the words nut and bush in it.
OK. Okay, yeah, that is, and then you think.
I mean, I think we should probably go out on that, but there was a completely marginal point in this story which I wanted.
I can't remember what you were talking about.
Well, the story is that he got off with her. That's the whole story.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah.
But Tina's personal assistant, Eddie Hampton Armani, is the one who relates this. And the thing that I'm interested in is that he'd driven from London to Birmingham with sushi for Tina. Now, this is in 1985.
Not when the Banshees.
No, sushi and the Banshees. No, Sushi Sue wasn't there. I think she would have been too low on the fame rung anyway to get off with any of them. Although she was quite trendy at the time. But anyway, I don't remember sushi being a thing. I wouldn't have known what sushi was even in 1985.
No. Well,
so I don't know where Eddie got this sushi from. So we may have to question the credibility of the whole story. I don't know where he got sushi from. And he drove it from London to Birmingham. I mean, it would have gone off, wouldn't it?
I don't think it would have gone off.
Well,
and he could have had one of those boxes that have cooler things in that you take camping.
Doesn't mention it.
I'm going to put it
in Tina Turner.
But I think more likely, would you buy sushi from in 1985?
Well, maybe that's why he had to go from London to Birmingham, because I assume that there are now sushi restaurants in Birmingham, but I assume there weren't at the time.
There definitely will be.
Hang on, let me find the bit about the sushi, because it's quite important in the whole story.
It does feel a bit sort of retrofitted, doesn't it?
Okay, so weirdly, in the top of this story, it just says, I arrived to see their sound check on stage, they were teasing each other. Later, they went back to the hotel and had the sushi. So I now can't find the bit where he says he drove it from London to Birmingham. But you know what will clinch it?
Yeah.
I am going to Google
sushi
restaurant London 1985.
Great.
To see if one exists.
Yeah.
And whether Eddie's telling the truth. Okay, so sushi restaurant London. I'm not getting anything for that. First ever sushi restaurant in London.
Okay, that's good.
I'm going for that.
Yeah.
Because I think it will be around about then, won't it? No, the first Japanese restaurant
right.
opened in 1967.
Yeah, I suppose
that was Hiroko, but that's not a sushi restaurant.
Well, I don't know. I mean, if you're running Hiroko, for example, and they say Tina Turner wants it, you just would do it, wouldn't you?
Taking American lead, it says here on Yahoo, sushi restaurants rapidly opened around Europe in the 1990s.
So yeah, but I think if you're Tina Turner, you can get sushi from a Japanese restaurant.
Do you?
Yeah, because it's a stiff, maybe Eddie
just just went to a fishmonger's and they just gave him fish. And then he went to a shop and cooked some rice.
No, but I think you'd go to Hiroko in 1967 onwards and say, you heard of Tina Turner? And
I'm not
say,
sure Eddie,
she
Eddie's
wants
got
sushi.
That
she wants, you know, they would just do it, right?
Oh, well, okay, let's assume it was Hiroko. Let's assume that Eddie...
I think that's fine.
What's he called again? Eddie something or other.
Oh, Hampton. I can remember it because it had Hampton. Don't tell me.
Okay.
Because I remembered. I had images in my head of Hampton.
Yeah,
Hampton
it was a. Yeah.
And then there's another word which is a real.
Okay, can you get it?
Oh, God. I just.
Okay, so there's another thing about Eddie and Hampton, the truth of him, which is his name sounds like the most made up name
for a
posh personal assistant ever. It's like he's just chosen two posh things from either end of the posh spectrum, one of them kind of aristocratic, one of them designer, right? And he's put those two things together, and that's his personal
assistant. That's what I remember
thinking.
Hampton, because I remember thinking of Hampton Court, and then his, because this is how you're supposed to do memory, isn't it? Remember images. And his second one is something to do with a designery thing. Is that what you're saying?
What do you think it is? Just off the top of your head.
Gucci. No.
Eddie Hampton Gucci. Hampton Armani.
Armani, that's right. Yeah.
Oh, it's Eddie Hampton Armani. Yeah. But we might have created something there, which is your posh PA name, is your own name, right?
Oh,
plus
a stately home.
A stately
type
home.
Thing,
and then item a designer label. So okay. Would it have to be your like a stately home you visited and a designer label that you bought?
What's that place near me? Scion Court. So Tim
Scion.
Scion.
What's a designer? Have you bought for your wife a designer perfume?
Tim Scion Hindmarsh.
Just sounds like Hindmarsh.
That's quite good.
Is that Anya Hindmarsh?
Yeah, I was trying to think.
Tim Scion Hindmarsh. Okay, so that would be great. If you were a PA, I would be Kenwood House. Does that count?
Okay, yeah, I'll try that. Yeah,
David Kenwood.
That's good.
Yeah, although it's also the name of a mixer.
Yeah, but then
David,
you're going to add your...
Yeah.
What about Botang?
David Kenwood Boateng.
That's quite good.
Okay, David Kenwood Boateng. Boateng is Boateng. My
design. David Kenwood Boateng.
PA name. Should we advertise?
What was I? Tim. Sort of, I forgot what it was.
You were Tim Scion.
Scion Hindmarsh.
Hindmarsh. It's available for all your celebrity PA needs, as is David Kenwood. What was the last one?
Boateng.
Boateng. David Kenwood, Boateng. Perhaps we should go into business together. Anyway, I think that's it for the end for Stalking Time for the Moon Boys for this one, because we're going
to
do another one.
It's good to be back, isn't it?
It's great to be back. Back in the shed, back in the saddle.
What does that mean?
Accidental partridge.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.